Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Imagine for a moment, every security camera in Coburg is keeping an eye out for criminal activity. This is not just the cameras in the ATMs at banks or the systems in businesses along King Street. This is a store security camera at Walmart, cameras scanning the yacht club storage. And get this, every doorbell camera in the town. That's right, the security cameras located in people's doorbells. It is known as a security mesh video system, and the Coburg Police Service, in cooperation with Venture 13, is hoping to develop this highly innovative system that could become a prototype for police forces across the country. It is mind-boggling, and it is in the earliest stages of development. So there's lots of things to work out. Still, it is something that the people at Venture 13 and the police chief are very excited about. The same is true for the Ontario government. It's throwing in $200,000 to help pay for its development. The federal government's also kicking in some cash, along with a host of others, for a total budget of $500,000. That's a big deal. And there's a lot of interest from people in the high-tech world, both in Northumberland and from outside. On today's show, we will go behind the scenes of this recent announcement to look at the significance of this project in an interview with the police chief and the executive director of Venture 13. We will talk about everything from the innovative aspects down to privacy rights. But that's not all. The police are looking at body cameras for officers. We will talk about that new technology. But we will also get a reaction from the police chief about the recent dropping of charges by the Crown Attorney against the people who had trespassed on Victoria Beach last summer. You will want to hear what the chief has to say about that. Also on today's show, we will have an interview that will be of interest to all parents and grandparents getting ready for Christmas. This time of year is jam-packed with all kinds of traditions, excitement, and anticipation for children. This can lead to a ton of pressure on adults. It is a very stressful time normally, but in the face of the pandemic, it can be worse. An expert from the Northumberland Child Development Center in Port Hope will talk about managing all the expectations that come with Christmas and the pandemic. You'll get some good advice. But first, here is my interview with the innovative community safety project between Venture 13 and the Coburg Police Service. I'm so pleased to have with me today Chief Paul Vandegraaff of the Coburg Police Service and Wendy Curtis, Executive Director of the Northumberland Canadian Futures Development Corporation, or the CFDC. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you.
Good morning, Rob.
So I'd like to start with you, Chief. Could you tell us about this grant for the CCTV cameras?
Yeah, it's tough for me to start. This is a great example of a collaborative effort. And when you bring great minds together, great product is a result right here in small town Ontario. So as everyone probably is aware now, that we've been very quietly working along with the Police Accelerator. We've partnered with CFDC, and what we're doing is leveraging entrepreneurs and innovation, intelligent approaches to business, all towards community safety. And this partnership was growing just pre this COVID thing that we're all living right now. And this grant came up from the Minister of the Solicitor General's office for an enhanced CCTV program. And I was just really, really lucky to have been working with the Police Accelerator. So we were able to put a team together very quickly. The grant turnaround time was really, really short. And we were able to put together not a CCTV grant, but actually a community safety mesh network, what we're calling the next generation community safety strategy. And it's really far more than cameras. And It's only through the partnership of a police accelerator that something like this could get pulled off.
Now, Wendy, what is the V13 Police Tech Accelerator?
Well, in a simple way, Rob, what we did was the CFTC has, you know, tools in the toolbox. And of course, the police have their core mandate of community safety. And so we've been working together on and off. I mean, even Venture 13 itself was a collaboration with the police, investing a serious amount of funds in the facility and the renovation. And that's where our partnership began. We also invested a lot of money in bringing Venture 13 to life. So sort of a continuum of the partnership was establishing the Police Tech Accelerator. And that's a pilot project. It ends in about a year from now. We both put in funds. And the goal of the accelerator, and this, by the way, we would consider North America's first police tech accelerator. And when we did it, we said, okay, look, I'll give you a CF perspective, is that across the nation in policing, it's about $15 billion annual spend right across the nation. And there's about 100,000 people employed in that sector. So we looked at it and said, okay, how can we help this sector to contemporize smart policing and so on? And how can we work with Coburg Police Service, who are highly innovative, very entrepreneurial themselves? As you know, they run an unbelievably strong social enterprise within their area. How can we work together to help them? So simplistically, what we said was the police will identify whatever the community safety issues might be, and they define the problem. And then what we are trying to do is use the entrepreneurial ecosystem and our linkages to that, which is quite extensive, and find the entrepreneurs and bring them here and to help the police to solve whatever the problem is that they've identified. So that's the underlying premise of it. We both have funds in place to support the accelerator for a period of time. And we're both, I guess the chief can probably speak for himself, but I quite frankly am shocked at how quickly we've been able to actually make a powerful difference in the face of COVID. I mean, we only launched the end of February. So that's like 6-7 months. And the number of entrepreneurs that are connected, the number of, there's one research proposal, for example, that's already gone up to the federal government for researching here, working with CPS. It's just amazing, the kind of activity. So that's a lengthy answer, I'm sorry, but we're just working together in a collaborative way, leveraging each other's strengths to make a difference in our community and create safer solutions, but also to attract entrepreneurs to our community.
So Rob, simply put, it's, as a police leader, I have a community problem that maybe I want to use some form of technology or some invention to help solve. Then I go to the vendors and try to find something that works, and I squish sometimes a rectangular block into a square hole and make it work. Well, this flips that upside down. What we envisioned before COVID hit us is I had about 12 chiefs from across Ontario coming to a meeting to identify three core problems. And then we were going to put the problems in front of entrepreneurs and inventors and have them come up with technology or innovative solutions to help us solve the problem. So that's really turning it around on its head. And then COVID happened, so we just continued. And one of our local providers, Thermoscan, has created a temperature device that measures temperature that we're deploying in our cell block, which will actually create a safer justice system from the way the accused person's entered into the justice circle all the way through, including the judge who may or may not see that person. So that's how quickly things pivot. And there's lots of great things happening. So it's pretty exciting. So there is no short answer for sure, Wendy. That's what it is.
How is this transforming the foundation of community safety through these CCTV cameras?
Let me jump on this, and then Wendy will probably add some finer points to it. So we could have written a grant. We might have been successful to put a bunch of cameras on poles, which is the traditional manner, and we would have had passive monitoring of certain areas based on poles, based on the privacy standards, yada, yada, yada. Or you sit down with the team that the accelerator has put together and really innovative people and these entrepreneurs who are trying to work with us, and you put the same problem before people who think about it differently. And then I was introduced to the term mesh network. I never knew what that meant, and I still don't think I totally understand it. But really what we've done is we've taken a partner in Lakefront Utilities and the fiber network that exists in Coburg, and we're using that to connect internet-based cameras across the community, but not just the ones we're buying with this grant money, but any publicly facing private camera, any business or home can enter into this mesh network, creating a circle of safety. And then that you think that's pretty neat. And then you meet another entrepreneur who says, there's some really cool video management systems with built-in analytic software that can create a heat map where I could say have 100 cameras registered into the video management system, and I could have a little girl wearing a pink bathing suit with a blue backpack walk away from the beach next year when we're enjoying the beach at Sandcastle Festival. I could get someone to log onto the system, and we could query with those parameters every camera in the system simultaneously and come up with an answer with where little Emily is versus chasing where Emily might be. So I never want to have to find Emily because she's lost, but that'll be the good news story for you, Rob, when we find it. And that's bringing people who are not typical police officers to bring private enterprise to community safety. And I honestly believe that's why the Minister of Solicitor General Jones came here, because it was all about partnerships. It was all about, like, it's a $500,000 gift that just fell out of the sky in about 3 weeks to the municipality. So I think it's a pretty good day.
Wendy, do you have anything to add?
No, I think it's just a testimony to what the chief said, is that different minds working together on a problem. You know, we're all going to look at it differently, but we can move very rapidly because it's just sort of a core value we have is the speed of trust. Like, we understand that people got a problem, we got to fix it. You do this piece, this guy will do this piece, away we go. And so it was a very, again, intense time to turn something like that around in 3 weeks. But as the chief said, we actually invited entrepreneurs into the solution. It wasn't just, oh, let's go and chase a grant for cameras. This was like, let's leverage that grant and build something special.
We actually brought in entrepreneurs who were not known to Coburg, who were not known to the Coburg Police Service or to CFDC or Venture 13. They're actually partners in this grant application. Yeah. And like, we may have 3 or 4 new tenants at Venture 13 purely because of the accelerator, but specifically this particular grant. So although it's great community safety and we're going to be able to help solve crime, and it meets my goals in that when I ran the CCTV camera survey, 86% of the survey respondents told us they would feel safer with cameras. So, like, and that was in August. Here we stand in December, 3 or 4 months later, and we've developed a $500,000 project. That is what, when police take their ego out of the game and put their trust in smart, smart individuals, all with a single goal of community safety, we can actually do it.
But when people filled out that survey, they were not thinking of the kind of sophisticated system that you're talking about. They were thinking about cameras on a pole. Yeah. So, I appreciate the number. You know, what are we really talking about? And when you're talking about this scalable mesh video network, I mean, this is the stuff that Google project in Toronto came under fire for, was, you know, in things around privacy. It starts to get a little bit eyebrow raising.
This scalable video mesh network is based on consent. Consent is automatically inferred by the Privacy Commissioner of Ontario by me saying that if you are by this pole with the cameras on it, there's going to be a sign telling you that you're on camera. Also, nobody is allowed to just arbitrarily look at these video systems. So this video system doesn't even have a bunch of monitors. Don't think of a big room full of monitors. That's not, don't think of the TV shows or Hollywood. This is a virtual server with one monitor. And we are not allowed to real-time monitor people by the Privacy Commissioner of Ontario unless we log the specific purpose therefore. However, we can passively monitor, which a server will be doing constantly, like the LCBO server, like the McDonald's server, like the Sobeys server, like the No Frills server. I could go on and on and on. They are passively monitoring. And when any officer accesses that information for any purpose, be it investigative or community safety, i.e. Little Emily, We have to log who the person is, the incident number that it's associated to, the time that we started looking at. So we looked at it from 8:19 to 8:27. We have to log it. We have to seal it. We have to secure that video, and it then meets our retention bylaw. And then if anybody wanted to know at any given time if anything they were doing in the community was captured or viewed by the police, they would merely ask for freedom of information, grand total of a $5 ask that I would even waive during this period, and they would get their videos if we've done anything with it. The laws are very strict. CCTV cameras in municipalities across Ontario are not new. This is not a strange or a ubiquitous topic. This is really open, clear, transparent. We're going to do a great town hall meeting in January, virtually, probably, but to let everybody know this, I've had a few people call me about this. This is embedded safety is what this is. And if we use the covert cameras, then we have the Criminal Code of Canada that we have to apply for and use the language that's around there. I'm not in any way doubting that privacy will be infringed upon, but if you go into any store now, pretty much you have to understand you're probably on a video surveillance system. And I'm going to suggest that it is probably less safe than what I'm doing as far as misuse.
This project is getting a total of $500,000, but it was given in the announcements from the Ontario government, they said they were putting in $200,000. Where is the remaining $300,000 coming from? Wendy, maybe you can help me.
Talk about that in-kind versus not in-kind thing.
Yeah, some of it is in-kind, Rob, because the grant recognized that. But in our case, we are contributing $50,000 cash. The CFTC is.
So you're getting $200,000 from the Ontario government, and then the rest of it's in kind. Am I understanding that correctly?
No. We have a lot of cash donations coming in. So the police service themselves, through our innovation fund, are putting in $50,000 or $60,000 as well. CFTC or the police accelerators putting in $50,000. FedDev Ontario is really, really interested in this project and its inherent safety and great stuff. So these are all the partners that are coming in and participating. We didn't just bring an in-kind grant. We actually brought cash to the table, and that was recognized in the grant approvers, that we showed up with skin in the game.
Yeah.
Now, I know back in 2011 and in 2014, CCTV cameras were purchased. How many of those are still in active service?
None.
What happened?
It's the old adage, eh? If you don't stay on top of technology, technology leaves you on behind. So they were, in my opinion, a quick purchase. I wasn't here, but I was aware of the time of the year because I might have written a grant in Belleville at the same time that was also very successful. When I came here in 2014, the monitoring system was jammed in the back room of a server room. It wasn't really used. It wasn't really deployed from an investigative perspective. All of the privacy issues were well connected, but I don't know. I just don't think that anybody really followed through with the technology after it was installed. The issue we have with this technology is it's really robust, and it's going to take considerable connection to it, and that's why we've assigned a person directly to it already within the grant, both in kind and salary dollars. And along with the accelerator, we're going to keep this moving forward. And I think technology has allowed for server-based cameras where the other systems were, again, that was almost 10 years ago.
But how do we know this is going to be different this time? I know there's lots of enthusiasm now, but how do we know 5 years or whatever down the road that the same thing happens?
You know what? Crystal balls are great. If I could find one, it would help me with all my decision-making, Rob. But all I can say is this is inherently built by people outside of policing with a vested interest. So all I can say right now is let's ride on the enthusiasm. We've repositioned people within our organization, and the scalability of this shall, in my opinion, keep it to the forefront of inventive technology.
In the same vein, you did a survey back in the summer about the Cobourg Police Service wearing body cameras. And it appears a vast majority support the use of body-worn cameras. What were the results of that survey overall, and will you be moving forward with the cameras?
Yeah, the survey overall was overwhelming. We halfway anticipated it, but I kind of stand on the world of I don't know everything, so let smarter people tell me what I think I should know. So we did a survey on the body-worn cameras, and overwhelmingly people were in support of it. They had very similar concerns around privacy and concerns around that and how is it going to be used and can the officer turn it off and some impact on use of force. And overall, the information was very valuable and very consistent with other community surveys done across North America. So I was tasked by the Police Services Board to create a report based on all of that and including costings and different things and get it back before the board. And obviously, this topical issue blew up across Ontario and across Canada, I guess. So the Privacy Commissioner of Ontario actually issued an order that unless we were ready to roll out before March 31st, we had to stand down until the Privacy Commissioner addressed the issues of privacy, and they wouldn't have those results until after the end of the second quarter of 2021. We wouldn't have been in a position to be ready to go before March 21. So we're waiting for the Privacy Commissioner of Ontario to give us some guidelines on to how to roll out a body-worn camera project. And then we'll put it back to the board mid-2021 for consideration, probably for launch, if we go that route for 2022.
Another thing that has come up recently has been announcements regarding the beach violations back in the summer. And there's been a number of charges that were dropped against individuals. Most recently, there was trespassing charges dropped against James Campbell of Hamilton Township for trespassing back in the summer when Victoria Beach were closed. Why did that happen?
Yeah, so charges were laid, and again, a few charges, not a lot, given the amount of time, effort, and energies expended. Very few charges, in fact, were laid, but there were some laid. The particular charge you're speaking of was actually a ticket issued by the municipal bylaw team. So I'm not really sure what happened there, but I understand there was a late filing or a process error. That wasn't one of the charges laid by our team. The charges laid by our team, I inquired, are still before the courts.
I read a press release that said that charges were dropped against one of the individuals. I don't know about the second one, but I thought that they weren't before the courts, that the courts had dealt with them.
Yeah, again, the one that's been listed, the individual you spoke of, we did not charge that person, so I can't speak any more to that. I other than what I've seen in the news, and that charge was withdrawn due to a process error, a late filing. What that means is the police officers or the bylaw officers or the provincial offenses officers have a set time to file a ticket within the courts. If it doesn't meet that timelines, it's struck for those reasons. That's from my understanding from the same press release, because I have no information about it because it wasn't our matter.
I'm talking about Tamara Ugolini and Joyce Matthews.
Tamara Ugolini and Joyce Matthews, my understanding, there was a resolve through a diversionary process in the courts. So I stand very clearly with my team is that if they feel reasonable grounds exist to lay a charge, they lay a charge. They put the charges before the court. They put their best case forward. If the court decides to use a diversionary process to remove that court or remove that charge, that's totally within the hands of the Crown Attorney.
But what is your reaction to the Crown Attorney's decision? I mean, what message does this send?
I got 30 years doing this job. If I started worrying about what a court decides over what I decide, then I'm going to quickly become a very frustrated individual. Basically, it's a justice circle. We all have our parts to play. Is it frustrating for the officers? I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Is it frustrating for me? I think I'm very clear on my frustrations around some of the justice system decisions. Going into this whole pandemic, this is a very different time. These are very strange circumstances. I would never have envisioned I would have been involved in policing. So to have a unique response is not out of the ordinary for me. So I guess for me, Rob, I've been at this for a long time. We held people accountable. We did what we were asked to do. The officers acted with professionalism. They did their job with pride and honor. And what happens in the courts is for the courts to decide.
But I mean, in the face of record-breaking spread of this virus in the second wave and the efforts of officials to get compliance to various health recommendations, how are we as a community supposed to take any enforcement of this rule seriously when this type of thing happens?
You know what? I couldn't agree with you more. I don't, as a chief, get involved in the political debates of where people stand on where rights are in relation to wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, following restrictions, not following restrictions. I look at a law, I follow a law, the law says this, if it has an enforceability to it, I expect my officers to enforce it. I expect my officers to use discretion when discretion is available. And I leave that to the officers. In certain circumstances like this particular one, I 100% believe there should be no discretion. I don't want people dying from this. I want people to live. Northumberland County has had an amazing record coming into this first wave, into the second wave. We're on a rocky sea right now. My personal opinion is going to get a lot worse for a lot of people here over the next 2 months. So it, to be blunt, pisses me off, but that's a personal opinion I shouldn't get to.
Thank you both very much for spending some time with me today.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Wendy.
Enjoyed that. Bye.
That was my interview with Wendy Curtis, Executive Director of the CDFC, and Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.